The Charlotte Hornets team continues to win down the stretch thanks to big performances from almost everybody, including a huge performance from PJ Washington. We talk about it today on the Locked On Hornets podcast.
You're Locked On Hornets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
In a minute, cuz we live. We live.
It's Locked On Hornets. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day. Thanks for making us your first listen. We're free. We're available anywhere you get your pods. And that includes YouTube. Today's episode is brought to you by Ultimate Basketball GM. If you've ever dreamed of becoming an NBA GM and managing your basketball franchise, then this game is definitely for you. To download the game, just visit ultimatebasketballgm.com or look it up on the app stores. Our listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code Locked On, all caps in the game as well. So thanks to Ultimate Basketball GM. All right, I'm Walker Mail. Catch me on WFNZ from 12 to 3. Catch Doug Branson's Substack, Every Hornets Box Score, on everyhornetsboxscore.com. You might find a write-up of PJ Washington's new career high, Doug. How about that from PJ?
Let's go, PJ.
Oh, man, what a performance from him in the fourth quarter, continuing to hit some shots. Even kind of went cold at the end of the fourth quarter from three, but whatever cold was, compared to what he was doing, anything would have been cold. Even followed up some of his own misses, had a huge putback opportunity. I counted three different and one opportunities, finishing inside, which is something PJ has been known to struggle with at times during his career. So incredible from him. 43 points, the first career high was 42 2 years ago against Sacramento. That was a part of, I believe, the Miracle After Midnight dose, right? I think that was Malik Monk who finished with the and one to help them out win that game. PJ went nuclear. It was awesome to see. And Doug, obviously, the way he's been playing here recently, it's been very good. I would say even steadier so than just on the incline of the roller coaster. Like, we've leveled out and we're still having fun, at least a little bit with PJ. And plus, contract implications are on the line.
In honor of the career high, I'm wearing his draft hat today. So there you go.
Awesome. And very nice.
This was a big dub. I'll showcase the big dub hat here in a moment, but I had to just give props to PJ with the draft cap.
I like it.
And the decision to draft him is looking better and better. I mean, he is developing all kinds of skills that we didn't really know that he had. And I think one of those skills is just using that size and strength to get his own shot over and over and over. He was imposing his will on the Oklahoma City Thunder in the first half. And he had to do that because the Hornets are down so many of the playmakers that he's used to playing with, that he's used to using to get those pick and pop opportunities. He didn't have those guys. He was dealing with Maladone and Svi, who are, you know, good players at distributing the basketball at times, but, you know, players that he's somewhat unfamiliar with. Now, by the time he got into a rhythm, you get into the second half, and those guys like Teo, like Svi, were able to find him for three-point opportunities, and he didn't cool down. And that was the most exciting thing to see, Walker, because we've gotten the roller coaster experience from PJ before within a game, where he starts 6 of 9 in the first half and goes 1 of 11 for the rest of the game. That did not happen here. PJ was steady Eddie throughout. It was an amazing game. Baby B energy. PJ Washington, the Hornets, once again, spoiler alert, playing spoiler in the Western Conference play-in. Walker, I think we figured out the problem with the Charlotte Hornets over the past couple of years. They've been playing in the wrong play-in. They should have 100%. Been playing in the West.
100%, because then you'd beat Dallas. You would leave them out in the dust. Then you would do the same thing to OKC. Now, OKC didn't have SGA. He was questionable.
Forget about that. Don't worry about that little fact.
Well, I mean, Jalen Williams was good. God, he was amazing. Isaiah Joe looked very good too, just knocking down 3-point shots. Philly has to regret, you know, giving up on Isaiah Joe. So the Thunder still a very fun basketball team. I guess my point was they're still trying to win, and they still have a lot of talent, even if it's very young. They still have a lot of talent, and the Charlotte Hornets found a way to win. Like, if you don't have SGA. If you don't have any of your star player, but you lose Kelly Oubre, Terry Rozier, LaMelo Ball, Mark Williams, didn't even play, like, I'm good, okay? Like, yeah, let's go ahead and try to balance the scales if you want to, okay? Pain greatly outweighs in our direction here. I do have a few PJ stats that aren't necessarily fun, but maybe I hope not a sign of things to come either. But this is a new PJ. But Doug, I've come to know PJ as a guy that will give you his career high or even season high. And then the next game, he's going to tank it. It's going to be a pretty bad one. And so if you look back at that 42-point career high that he had, the next game, the very next game against Portland after he played against Sacramento in 2021, he would score 3 points.
Okay.
In 2022, he would score 21, and then the very next game, he would score 6. So 21 was the season high.
Why did you? This is an amazing. You know what? I got to get the big dub hat now because you go ahead and continue to read your stats while I get the big dub hat on, because you are pooping all over this amazing victory and all of the sadness and weirdness that is this season. You've got fans unanimously celebrating because they're locked into the fourth worst odds and they're not actually hurting their draft stock. They are unanimously celebrating this victory, and you are pooping on it, sir. I'll be back in just a moment.
Okay, let me poop on it a little bit more. Earlier this year, he had 31 points and then 21, and then he had 8 right after that. But that's the thing. It's a new PJ. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, in the next game, we can continue this contract momentum with a new career high, and then what he's going to do is he's going to follow it up with, let's just say, a 15 to 20-point performance, and maybe more, Doug, because he has been very good. He's been very good as of late.
Okay.
And you go ahead. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, that's fine. You've been talking enough. You've been pooping on things with your language enough. I'm going to bring it back to a positive.
Poop more times on air. I think that's what you want to do secretly.
Too dangerous for radio. I want to give you some positive stats. Okay, we've mentioned the career scoring high for PJ Washington. It was also a career scoring night for Kai Jones, who put up 12 points and a double double. JT Thor, 14 points. That's a career scoring high. We also had some season highs from Svi Mykhailiuk, who dropped in 18. How about Théo Maledon? Rabidesonk. He was, I don't know, 19 in French, but he was Rabide 19 in French. He scored 19. Career assist highs for Svi Mykhailiuk, who had 8 assists in this game and had. He had 2 blocks. Théo had 4 blocks in this game.
Yeah, the 4 blocks thing has to be a career high as well.
It has to be, right? Career assist high as well for JT Thor, who dished out 4 dimes. Just crazy numbers. Can I give you one more? Can I give you one more interesting stat before we move on?
That's fine.
This is crazy, okay? The Hornets won this game. Very close game, obviously. Fourth quarter, they developed, they just went supernova. The Hornets did. A lot of that PJ, who scored 22 points in the fourth quarter, he was knocking down threes. They got a 10-point lead. And then Oklahoma City, because they really could get anything they wanted to at the rim as well, they get back into the game, close game, okay? The Hornets won this game. Despite shooting 63% on 30 free throw attempts, despite committing 18 turnovers for 23 points, and they only played 8 players to Oklahoma City's 12. That's nuts.
It is. It absolutely is. And it's because of what PJ was able to do in this game, especially late. But everybody, like, there's a lot of people that performed as you just kind of went down the stat line. I did want to end on this before we move on. PJ Washington's contract implications here, right? Because we talked about in the last, 20 games or so, when it was evident, no way that they were going to get in the play-in. We talked, what do you watch for? Well, LaMelo Ball went down, so you can't watch him. So now you're watching Mark Williams. Oh, wait, he's got a thumb injury, so you can't watch him. PJ Washington, Kelly Oubre, those were the guys because of their contract situation. And even Dennis Smith Jr., like, you know, as maybe a subplot, whatever. But PJ is in line to he's going to make the biggest contract of all the contract implication players on the roster. We had kind of scoffed, a lot of people scoffed, at him asking for $20 million. It never meant that he was going to outright get $20 million per year, but that's what he was asking for. If he goes and averages something close to 20 at the end, he finishes his regular season stats shooting over 45%, shooting over 35 from three, which if he has more good games than not the rest of the way, there's a shot that he does that. Then defensively, he had 5 assists in this game, Doug, to kind of point to the skill set he's growing as he moves on in his career. I mean, Doug, people poo-pooed, to use your word, the $20 million asking price for PJ. He's going to get close to it. Like, especially with the whole salary cap rise, which everybody mentions with every contract mentioned, he's going to get close to it. And it's going to be with the Hornets, in my opinion.
Oh, I think so. Excuse me. Oh, man. He's got me flustered. PJ, just thinking about those 43 points and five assists that you mentioned there. Yeah, I think he is going to get close to it. I think he's earned it. And I think it was important for the Charlotte Hornets to take a stand and say, all right, show me. You know, show this franchise that you're worth this money. And I think he has, for the most part. You know, I think there have been some issues that he's going to continue to work out in his game. But I think I'm convinced that he has this takeover ability that you would want to pay, you know, a premium for in terms of a role player. Because I still don't think, like, he's – I don't know. I mean, now that I'm questioning it at least, but I don't think that he's, you know, an all-star caliber player. But I think he can be, like, a really awesome role player on a playoff team.
Plus, and, he's a two-way guy. Get in the business of paying two-way guys decent money. Like, yeah, I'm down with that business.
No doubt. I mean, yeah, he definitely has some defensive skills. He wasn't showcasing them all that much in this one, but he had all of the offensive responsibility. When he doesn't have all of that offensive responsibility, he can dedicate a little bit more to the defensive end.
Yeah. All right. So big shout to what PJ was able to do last night. We'll get to some of the other box score observations coming up next on the Locked On Hornets podcast.
Don't go to sleep on the Hornets just yet.
Don't do it. Don't go to sleep.
Now, that's new. Doug went through some of the players and what they were able to do last night against Oklahoma City. We'll get to some more of the box score observations in just a moment. I did want to tell you about Ultimate Pro Basketball GM. This episode is brought to you by Ultimate Pro Basketball GM. It's the coolest game that you should play in a long time. I've always thought I could be a great NBA GM. And as it turns out, well, it's not all that easy with this game. If you've had even the slightest same thought, even close to that same thought, and you fantasize about managing your own basketball franchise, go download Ultimate Pro Basketball GM right now. The game allows you to manage every strategic aspect of a franchise, playing through seasons and leading your franchise and fans to glory as you build a historic dynasty. In the simulation, what you are responsible for includes dealing with challenging personalities, hiring the right coaches and assistants, trading and training the right players, making draft picks, and navigating your franchise through free agency and the draft, all the ups and downs as well that come along with it. Locked On Hornets listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code Locked On in the game store. So make sure to check it out. Download the game. Just visit probasketballgm.com, scan the code, or look it up on the app stores. That's probasketballgm.com, Ultimate Basketball GM. Start your dynasty today. A couple more segments to go. Locked On Hornets.
Is Locked On Hornets.
Walker, sometimes you don't have to have the best package.
Okay.
Sometimes you just have to have the only package. If you wait, or this is if my dating life taught me anything, sometimes you just have to wait around long enough until you're the only thing remaining. And then suddenly you look pretty great in comparison.
It's time for more of the Locked On Hornets podcast.
Dirk, I'm trying to figure out where to start. You mentioned a few of the players. Maybe we start with the center rotation. How about that? Nick Richards.
Yeah, I got to fix my antenna here. I got wonky antennae.
Can you hear me?
Flashing the big dub hat not get my antennae right. Okay, there we go. I think we're good. Proceed with the show.
Okay, goodness gracious. I don't think you could hear me that whole time, right?
Center rotation. I heard you.
Okay. Okay, very good. Nick Richards, he starts over Mark Williams in this game. Mark Williams, he's the guy left out during this new rotation where Steve Clifford told you he's going to be sitting one player and then he's going to be playing the other two. Mark Williams, this was his turn just last night against Oklahoma City. Richards, I thought, a lot of putbacks, some nasty dunks, 11 rebounds, 4 offensive rebounds for Nick, 14 points for him. And then also Kai Jones. I thought this was a really nice game for him, certainly offensively, right? I mean, you're talking about 12 points for him, 5 of 5, so perfect from the field. Also had some nasty dunks, just like you would expect. Great matchup for any center, certainly offensively, right? We had this thing with Mark Williams when he had the 17 and 13 game. OKC, very tiny, so I'm glad Richards and Kai Jones both got double-digit rebounds. And even so, they were both lob threats, which was fun. James Booknight even got involved throwing quite a few lobs in this one. So what did you make of Kai Jones and Nick Richards, what they were able to do?
Well, I think without Nick Richards' ability to clean it up off the glass, the janitorial services, they don't win this game. I mean, the play that he had that sent them up 134-132, PJ drove, barely missed that floater, and there was Nick Richards flying in for another dunk. The Oklahoma City Thunder, I mean, props to SGA for dragging this team into contention, because they really just have no legitimate rim protection. The Hornets,
that's true.
I mean, they have this Jalen Williams, the one with the Y, Jalen Williams, the center. But
no,
he was barely.
No, oh yeah, yeah. Sorry, yes.
Yes,
sorry.
The center who likes to take charges is Jalen Williams with a Y. Mm-hmm. He was 1 of 4 in this game in 18 minutes and 3 points, and they I don't think they played him. They played him 2 seconds in the fourth quarter. Okay, he was unplayable. And the Hornets were just slicing and dicing him and really this entire lineup. And it allowed guys like Nick Richards to do that. It allowed Kai Jones to go 5 of 5 because they were able to find him underneath the basket. And every pick and roll play, it seemed like they were bringing, you know, the ball handler was bringing 2 or 3 Oklahoma City defenders. They were just completely undisciplined defensively. And it opened up the game for guys like Kai to make easy plays at the basket. You know, I think really that was the easy part. Offense was the easy part in this game.
Correct.
But I think what the team will be evaluating, continue to evaluate, is the defensive end of the floor for both of these guys. And I thought there were still plenty of, for Nick Richards, plenty of defensive mistakes that you can look at here, especially down the stretch. There were multiple moments in the fourth quarter and really throughout the game where Nick Richards, his defensive positioning is just wrong. It's not even like he's a half step off or he makes like a small mistake that leads to a domino effect on the defensive end. Like, if you want to go take a look at it, go subscribe to Every Hornets Box Score. I link both the plays. But like, Nick Richards is just absolutely not in any position to make a play and pick a roll. He just misreads the whole thing and it leads to an easy basket for the other team. And this is OKC. So imagine this in a scenario where you're in, you know, a legitimate playoff scenario against a really, really, really good team. And you start to understand why, you know, they're still trying to develop Nick Richards. And for Kai Jones, it's these offensive fouls, man. It's offensive fouls and the turnovers. There's one particular turnover where he does a great job of getting an offensive rebound, okay? And through the sequence of getting the offensive rebound, he ends up close to the short corner at the sideline. And all he has to do is secure the basketball, turn around, and pass it to a guard who's coming back to the play. That's all he has to do. Instead, there's some part of him that still lives in this guard mentality, this takeover, dribble, guard mentality. So he decides to face up, I believe it was Giddy, or possibly Poku, Pokuševski. He decides to face him up and turns the basketball over, dribbles it off his own knee. And so it's just stuff like that where you're going, man, like, can he put all of this together? It makes you doubt it. I mean, I'm here to celebrate 12 points and 14 rebounds, but there are these little moments that just make me cringe almost.
Well, but this is the thing with Kai playing better as a center, is because you're not asked to do as much with the basketball in your hands. And so it's, okay, that body is useful somewhere. It's useful at center. And so that's why we're just going to have you slam it home and grab 14 rebounds in 22 minutes and also be physical. Like, it's funny because Kai has put on weight since he's entered the NBA. Mm-hmm. The dude, we all talked about it as soon as really we were getting pictures in the offseason with him going to summer league. There was a nice box out where if he would have been soft, then maybe the rebound would have gone to Oklahoma City, but he left no doubt about it where he blocks out somebody close to the free throw line and collects one. Like, 14 rebounds in 22 minutes, it's a lot. And so that's the hope for me, Doug. If you are looking at this project and you're saying, okay, how does this work? How do you not lose all of your returns on trading up to go get this guy? Then it's probably figuring what he can do out at the center spot where you're just a big old lob threat. Maybe as you go on, you can experiment with guard skills or, you know, from 10, 15 feet out. But right now it's just pick and roll, go get rebounds, you know, be physical and maybe, you know, dish out a couple fouls if people try to mess with you at the rim. Like, that's what I see Kai Jones being right now. And maybe you can try to expand upon his skill set as he goes on. But let's just go ahead and try to simplify the game for him a little bit more.
Yeah, I just think if you're a fan and you're looking at some of these Kai Jones dunks and you're looking at the energy and you're looking at the intensity and you're wondering to yourself, why, oh, why can Kai not get on the floor? And what I'm telling you is that there are these moments in games that at this moment in time do not matter. This game really, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't matter. It's a good win, and it's going to build confidence for these young guys. And for all those reasons, it was nice that they got this win. But obviously, they're eliminated from the playoffs. This has no stakes. But if you take some of the things that Kai Jones does, the mistakes that he makes, and then you extrapolate that into games where it actually would matter, that's when it becomes a problem. Energy and intensity, not a question. What's a question is the decision-making and trying to do too much. That's what I see from Kai is, and that's why I just sort of go back to the guard mentality, is that if he would just play the game like a center, now that they are finally playing him at the center position, if he would just do that, I think it would be fantastic. We would be just celebrating him and saying more minutes, more minutes, more minutes. But there are moments throughout the game where you're going, like can he both improve on the things that he needs to improve on and quit experimenting with the things that really are probably not going to help him ultimately get into a rotation.
I will say Kai Jones was plus 17, the highest plus minus number of the night. So maybe he says, take that to everybody. Plus 17, baby. Yeah, how about that? Mark Williams didn't play in this game, as we mentioned. I wonder what kind of rim protection. I wonder if that would have deterred Jalen Williams more so, because if you look at big-time scores, it was Isaiah Joe who threw up a bunch of threes, which is what he does, right? That's not anything new. Jalen Williams just attacked and attacked and attacked. Only shot 2 3-pointers-pointers in this game. Same thing with Josh Giddey. Only shot three, and he had 22 attempts. Jalen Williams had 16. So, Doug, they were not deterred, right? Like, Mark Williams, that's what we've talked about him. Even if the block numbers are low, he'll scare you a little bit from shooting some of those shots. Not these guys, not OKC. I mean, at least the guards. They were just, I mean, and Williams, goodness freaking gracious, man. Just so, missed 5 shots in this game, Doug. Ended up with 31 points, missed 5 total shots, went to the foul line, went 8 of 9. What a freaking player.
Yeah, three guys, 30 plus. You got Jalen and then Joe and then Giddey. The thing with Jalen, well, the thing with all of these players is really, I think when you lose Dennis Smith Jr. Right before you jump the ball, like he was a super late scratch, okay? And you're playing with a lot of guys you're not used to playing with. And so, you know, everybody understands the system, but you just haven't run the system defensively with a lot of these guys before. It's going to be tough to throw a double or shade towards Jalen Williams to try to keep him away from the rim. So it was a lot of one-on-one stuff. Jalen was blowing by PJ, was just too fast for PJ. Giddey was taking advantage of Svi. And then Jalen was also blowing by Thor. Like, I don't know. Maybe if Gordon Hayward were playing, you could try him on Jalen and see what happens there. But look, you know, Jalen was feeling it. On the Joe threes, though, okay, we got to talk about these Joe threes, because there were multiple moments throughout the game where Joe hits a three, and then if you take your eyeballs and pin them on Steve Clifford, he is just, he can't believe what he's seeing defensively, because it was just defensive mistake after defensive mistake.
There's a lot of them.
There was a book night mistake on one of them. There was a Thor and Svi both dropping, not communicating, not saying, hey, one guy's got to stay up on Joe. So there was just multiple. Bryce had one too. Like, it wasn't one player. This was, when you allow 134 points in regulation, it's a full team effort, both in terms of turning the basketball over, but also making defensive mistakes. So Baby B energy was amazing offensively, but defensively it was obviously a problem.
Well, let's talk more about it. Coming up next on the Locked On Hornets podcast.
Don't go to sleep on the Hornets just yet.
There's a few Baby Bees we have not talked about yet, so we'll get to that in just a moment, but not before FanDuel. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel. With the tournament already having its final four in place, there's no better time to get in on the action than FanDuel right now, America's number one sports book. That's because right now they're giving new customers a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not win. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn and sign up today to claim your no sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the net. And that's all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Don't miss your shot at a no sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. One more segment to go. Locked On Hornets.
This is Locked On Hornets.
And would I have liked to see a few more shards? Shards? No, I would not have.
Only on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Baby B stuff here, Doug. Let's take a look at some of the other larvae, if you will. Bryce McGowan's hit a few threes in this one. And I saw Matt Moore tweet this out. I think it was it was over the weekend against Dallas. And he said he liked Bryce McGowan's shot, but the 3-point percentage, it's not great. Well, we got to see him knock down a few threes in this one. What did you make of the second round pick out of Nebraska, what he was able to do?
I thought he looked a lot better when there were more shots coming his way, when he was able to sort of establish a rhythm on his own, as opposed to sort of playing with, you know, the scenarios that we've seen him play in the past have been really minor role player roles, where he's kind of out there playing cross country, like just going up and down the floor, not really getting the ball in his hands a lot. I think you saw a Bryce who was like, oh yeah, I remember how to play this way. And had a few nice plays offensively, and especially that drive on the baseline that he has where he goes up and under, and there was a sliver of daylight where he could get the ball up on the backboard and in for the layup. Just crazy athleticism from him. We've seen that showcased by James Bouknight as well. So, like, in terms of athleticism, this team is really well positioned for the future if they retain all of these players, because these guys can easily get to the rim and finish. So I really liked what I saw out of Bryce.
Well, and JT Thor, how about him coming off of the bench? He was 6 of 11. Doug, offensively, if he's done anything for this team, it's the classic Thorner 3, only 1 of 5 from beyond the arc. Actually, most of his field goals came with inside the 3-point line. 14 points for JT Thor. So there he is, man. How about that? A nice offensive performance. Had a block in this one. 4 assists for JT. I think that's impressive. 6 rebounds. What's in your notebook as far as JT Thor goes?
Again, I think JT Thor just continuing to play well defensively. 6 of 11 from the floor, as you said. Not a lot to say that you didn't say there. I mean, he was, I thought he was really good off the bench. I think he's continuing to establish his role. He gets 36 minutes in this game. I think Steve Clifford trusts him to make good plays. I like what I see out of JT Thor. You know, I like that. More Thor, baby. Give it to me. We're finally here. Yeah. 36 minutes for Thor. I never thought we'd see this day. I guess I shouldn't say that because I'm the president of the More Thor movement. I always believe we would see this day. But certainly there were moments of doubt earlier in the season.
Yeah. The minutes divvied up in this box score is pretty ridiculous. How about SU's fee getting 37 minutes? Teo Maladone, who has not played in a long time outside of this weekend, he got 39. PJ 37 is the only thing that makes sense here. JT Thor with 36. I mean, Doug, this has to be the first game. Well, I mean, I guess Teo, yeah, they brought up as the point guard. But, man, like that's the only true point guard that you have on this roster right now. And James Bouknight, you know, he had to kind of fulfill some of the facilitating duties here. Yeah. He threw up a few lobs. He had 5 assists. The Hornet that shot the worst in this game, 2 of 8 from the field for him. He did play the least amount of minutes, logging 19, but that's still a decent amount of run for James Bouknight. Did have 6 points. So just give me your thoughts on James Bouknight.
James Bouknight, you know, I thought he had a decent game, honestly. I mean, 2 of 8, you know, that's tough, especially in light of his everyone threes. Else playing well offensively. It's going to stand out. But I think in like a normal game where they don't score 137 points in regulation, yeah, obviously tough shooting night, but 5 assists, 4 rebounds that he adds, you know, 2 turnovers. Yeah, that stinks, but the whole team was turning it over, 18 turnovers The only one that didn't have a turnover was Svi Mykhailiuk. So I thought he had a couple of good defensive plays in this one as well. I think this is the kind of game that I'd like to see James Bouknight have, except maybe make a few more shots. But I mean, he was able to impact the game even though his shot wasn't going down, and that's kind of what you want to see, from Bouknight. And I didn't think a lot of the shots that he took were particularly bad shots. They just didn't go down. Back to Thor real quick. You know what Thor reminds me of right now? Cody Martin. Like, I feel like he's doing some similar things that Cody Martin did that got him a contract, which is just like play solid D, stand in the corner, be ready when the defense goes down to block at the rim. He's available. He's knocking down shots. So Thor is following the sort of Cody Martin line here.
Before we ended today, I did want to take a look at the Western Conference standings because
you're welcome, LeBron. You're welcome.
So the Hornets beat the Dallas Mavericks twice over the weekend. We've already celebrated that. Then they just beat Oklahoma City last night. We were warning everyone like that this was going to happen. We were playing with the race just between those two teams, between the Thunder and Dallas. They have the same record right now. Each one of those teams, 37 and 39. Oklahoma City apparently has the tiebreaker. So they are in the 10 spot. Dallas is still in the 11. And the Lakers are just a half game up on OKC and on Dallas. And so just if you were interested in what the Hornets were able to do in the Western Conference, they have shaken some things up. And they only have five games left here. No, the only other Western Conference opponent you have is against Houston, and that's it. So all the other ones will be against the East.
Yeah, and look, past three games, they've played Dallas and OKC, and both of those teams sitting right below 500. Their next game is against Chicago. Now they basically flip it and go East. Because the next game is against Chicago. They're sitting a couple of games below 500. And then you've got Toronto, which I believe Toronto is right at 500 right now.
They may change. 38 apiece.
Yeah, so that'll change one way or the other by the time that the Hornets face off against them. But very similar scenarios. And now the Hornets see if they can do it in their own conference. It'll be really interesting if I think... If you're wondering why this is happening now, why the Hornets couldn't do this all season, I really feel like all of the expectations have been stripped away. Now you're getting all of this baby B energy and shots are going down. I mean, sometimes it's as simple as that. Like there is a universe in the multiverse where the Hornets do all these exact same things roster wise and guys just aren't hitting shots and it gets apocalyptic. Right? Because they needed 137 points to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. there have been a lot of games that they've scored 80 and 90 and just above 100. So this was an amazing performance by some guys that are desperate to go out there and have good games. And, you know, shouts to them. Let's go. Hey, did you see the
fresh legs, man?
Did you see the interesting thing on Théo Maledon? Rejoining the team and the 10-day contract that they just gave Xavier Sneed to bring him up from the Greensboro Swarm. I was reading Rod Boone today, and apparently there's a little bit of, I won't call them shenanigans, but just using the rules in your favor. So Théo Maledon was right up on that cap of where a two-way player can still, play in games for a team. And it was because they only had 14 players on the roster. And if they had gotten a 15th player on the roster, filled their roster completely, it opens up those two-way players to play more games. So they signed Sneed to the 10-day contract, which allows them to continue playing Théo Maledon. And he rewards them with 7 of 15 from the floor, 19 points, 9 assists.
Well, and did Sneed get paid a ridiculous amount because of that?
I would probably say relative to what he would have been making had he not gotten the 10-day contract. Like,
but a ridiculous amount. So the injuries directly led, which is not so crazy if you think about it just for 5 seconds, but the shenanigans that you're pointing out, I think that actually put like a few extra $100,000 in Sneed's bank account, which is awesome. Love to see that, man.
Well, it's great because I feel like Sneed has been around forever. Like, I mean, he's
a summertime guy. You'll hear his name when we get to the summer league.
Yeah. Well, and that's it. I mean, you hang around, you're living your basketball dream right now. You're putting in the work every day. You're doing what the organization is asking you to do. You're being available. And here you go. You get sort of the senior treatment here. And they say, all right. Well, and I think part of it, too, is, you pick a guy in Snead that could have filled in if you did have another injury to Maladone or Svi or somebody. You could slot him in. But, you know, shouts to Snead. Look, the Hornets had a need. They had a need for Snead.
Yeah, they did. I knew that. Yeah, as soon as you just started to just kind of dwindle off into space, and then you said shouts to Snead. All right, you had alliteration. You were going to try to get a rhyme in there. The big dumb
Let's
hat, baby.
Go,
Doug is
Hornets!
Feeling the energy. Yes, the big Branson energy going strong there at the end. Indeed. Thanks to you for making us your first listen, as you do every day. Now make your second listen, Game to Game NBA. It's every moment. It's every top performance. It's every result. Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the league with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. Have a great rest of your day. We'll be back with you tomorrow.